Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast episode 34. My name is Judy Bilast and I'm your podcast host and I have inspiring guests from all over the world and today I'm joined by Tracy Hazard. Hello Tracy, how are you?
I'm great and I'm so excited to be here.
Me too, I'm excited that you are there. It's amazing how podcasting can really connect people from everywhere. So I started my journey in January and now it's already episode 34. So guys, let's dive in and who is Tracy? But probably you might know her because she has been in different media. And actually Tracy is a seasoned media expert with over 2,600 interviews from articles in Authority Magazine, BuzzFeed, and her Inc. magazine column also, and from her multiple top-ranked video casts and podcasts like The Binge Factor and Fit Your Brand, so one of the CIO's top 26 entrepreneur podcasts. And you are the CEO and co-founder of Podatize. I already like the name Podatize. So what does Podatize stand for, Tracy?
At one point, we were like pod.ad. It was kind of we were ad tech and we were just this weird little name. And we had a .ad was Andorra. And you had to know Portuguese to basically register your URL. And someone screwed up in the company and didn't read it right that the renewal was yearly. And we lost our URL. And so we madly had to dash to try to figure out what else we were going to use. And you know, it's one of those things where when you brainstorm and you really are just like under the gun, you come up with something fabulous. So it's a mixture of Podatize. Podatize is a mixture of podcast and monetize together, which makes Podatize. And we love it because it really fits the model of what we're doing, which is not really ads. It's alternative monetization to podcasts. You might make money from your guests. You might make money from a different type of strategy of affiliate partnerships or your own ads, selling your book, your courses, whatever it is. So we like that idea better. So we think Podatize just really fits us. And so it was a happy accident.
Right. Actually, for me, it's memorable and it's short. And of course, you have the URL that it's really. And I think Podatize in most of the languages, perhaps in French, it will be a bit difficult, but most of the languages, it's really easy to pronounce. So, okay, you have Podatize. Was that from in the beginning? So the idea to connect podcasting with monetization, was that the idea when you started the company? Is that your why?
I think our real thing was making it discoverable and monetizable. Like, I mean, this is the thing is we approach podcasting from a business podcaster's perspective, not an entertainment. So that's just kind of our side of things. We're looking at those that want to build their businesses, their authority, their, you know, thought leadership. You're working on building your brand through podcasting, not having a vehicle to put advertising on. That's sort of that iHeart model, that model of Spotify, right? You know, I don't have any problem with it. It's really entertaining. It's just not our focus. And so because of that, we want them to make money in their business, right? We want them to get leads from their podcast. We want them to find ways in which they can monetize. And what we realized really early on for ourselves when we started our first podcast was that the results are layered and they take time. And not a lot of people can be patient if they don't understand that that's the path they're going on. And so that's really how it started for us. So yes, it was always going to be monetization ultimately, but it's really about discoverability. Because if I can't find you, I can't hire you.
Right. And it's also a good way to connect with people because, and you know, if you hear a voice, and if people listen to your voice like during 20 or 30 minutes, it's a good way to connect with someone comparing to, for instance, a tweet, you know, or a LinkedIn post. It's completely different.
Well, hearing somebody in your ear is just so sticky, right? Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like it hits a different part of your brain center.
Yeah. And yet, you know, you are alone with someone else, like in the car, you have a conversation, you listen to someone, you have really, as a podcaster, the attention of your listener. So I really value that a lot. And of course, with all the possibilities that you have nowadays to be discoverable, as you say, with a podcast, it's not only about the podcast itself, I guess, but you can repurpose it in different ways.
You had an SEO expert on your show recently. And, you know, that's the thing about podcasting that I think a lot of people don't think about is that there is search engine optimization in every single thing we do. And if we think it's only about us on the mic or us doing the interviews, that's great. And it's a really important part of what we're doing. But if we don't make our show an engine optimizable, right? Search engine optimizable for what is Apple's search engine, Spotify's search engine, whatever, whoever the player is that it's on. If we don't make that right, no one will find us because their bots will block us. And what I have to say is that, you know, isn't really nice out there, but Apple and Spotify stinks at it. They're terrible. Their search engine is basic, like super, super basic. Yeah. And they can't listen to what you say on the show. They have no searchability within that. So that's really awful. Like, I mean, it's an audio media type, and yet they have no search engine capable of searching through that audio file. So the reality is we have to do our job titling things and labeling them and putting our show and using our maximum character count. It's things like that that we just don't know as podcasters because we're not in the know. And if we follow a model like iHeart or Wondery, they actually do a terrible job of it because they don't need to do it because they're owned by Spotify or they're owned by iHeart. So they end up at the top of the search engine anyway, because that's how that works. So they don't even have to work that hard at it. So we can't model those we think are successful. It won't work.
Right. Yeah. But another thing that I learned when I was a social media marketing world, that actually the place where people look or go searching the most for podcasts, it's actually YouTube. That's what was said.
YouTube and Google in general. Exactly. Yeah. It is. And I see more traffic coming from Google because Google will serve up videos, audios, blogs. It'll serve them all up. So you have more of a chance of showing up there than anywhere else. But YouTube is true. So we actually recommend to all of our clients to do a YouTube video of their podcast. And if they're not doing like you are, the wonderful actual live video, you know, we've got this communication between the two of us, then do an audiogram. There's no reason not to, which is like a sound wave with the captions, because nobody on YouTube really actually turns their sound on that often. They really read the captions more often than
not. Yeah, I also see this with my posts on social media. You need to put these captions because people are really... Also, if English is not your native language, like for me, I think it's even better to have these captions.
I agree. Yeah.
And also, yeah, we talked about YouTube. At this moment, my podcast is not yet up YouTube, but it will be. And actually, because then it's now on every... I would say audio platform, but I'm preparing everything to have it launched there. So that is actually, I think I'm really looking forward to that, to be able to compare, because you need to be able to measure also everything. Is it also something that you can do with your platform, Podatize, to better measure everything and to see what works and what doesn't?
Yes, absolutely. We're really proud of our analytics. What the most underutilized, but the highest power return on investment of your time and money spent is actually to do a transcription style blog of your podcast. So you'll get more out of that than you will out of the video, out of the podcast itself. You'll actually get more discoverability from that way. And that's something that we monitor. So what we have, our statistics side, our analytics side of our podcast hosting company, because we do hosting, not just production. And in the hosting side, we show your website statistics side by side with your podcast statistics. So you can switch back and forth and see how your web traffic is growing. Because if at the end of the day, only Spotify is getting my subscribers and I have zero connection to them. And so if you're not a podcaster yet, the dirty little secret in the podcasting industry is that Yuri doesn't know a single one of his subscribers if they're in Spotify, Apple, or any of those other places. He has no direct contact except through the audio media, right? The media type that you're utilizing. He can't send them an email. He can't connect with them. He can't even send them a private message through the platform. So he has to get them to come off of there to his website or to his social channels. And I recommend your website way more than your social channels, because who knows when Instagram's going to change their algorithm or Twitter's going to change something up and you're going to lose your connection to those people. So at your website's your best place to connect directly with people. And so that's why we recommend that blog strategy. And I can tell you, month over month, people see like 30% increase in their traffic and 50% increase in organic keyword association and things like that, that has long-term residual value for you that doesn't get lost when an algorithm shift changes or it's been months and months since that tweet went out. So it has real value and you want to track that.
Right. Yeah. And you track that within your
Podatize
app and also
We have high-level SEM rush integration, which you would have to pay. I think it's like $200 a month minimum on an individual basis. And we have that actually integrated in for you so you can visually see it right there. So it doesn't cost you anything more to host. And you're seeing this kind of information about your website. So if your website's not growing first, you're doing something wrong on your podcast in terms, because I mean, the reality is your home base should be the biggest champion of your podcast, not Facebook. So you need to make sure that your home base is filled with it. And the best way to do that is just simply to blog it. And that's how we recommend to most people to do it. And when we say transcription blog, I just want to clarify this. It's not going to say Yuri colon and the thing. It's not going to have timestamps on it. It's going to have just what I say, just what Yuri says, Yuri asks, right? Like that kind of thing. It's just going to be like that again and again throughout it. It's going to be broken up with images, have a great title on it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that you can model really easily, although transcribing is just a pain. There's no AI out there that's really good at it. So it does require some editing.
I know. And like I said, not your native language, that it's harder. Is even worse. So I'm thinking, you know, should I take really the effort to do this transcription and then start to edit, or just someone gave me the advice, just put it out there and then just mention that it's auto-generated for SEO purposes. Okay. But then it's just for SEO.
So I would recommend at least taking a pass or two, you know, getting an assistant to take a pass or two. When we do it for our clients, we do a 4-level transcription. So in other words, the first round is AI and then 3 people touch it after that. And 2 of them are just simply editing the transcript itself. And 1 person is formatting the blog and doing a final check of everything. So it's labor intensive. There is no other way to do it. I found, especially with accents, definitely not an easier way to do it, unfortunately. But I do recommend you do that. Don't over edit it. Don't really clean it up and make it well written. Just really make sure it is saying what you want intended. Like that's the only part that you should correct, is making sure that it didn't misinterpret the words completely. Because if your keywords aren't showing up, it's not doing you any good.
No. First, I should already start with my name because it for sure not be.
It'll for sure not be right. Exactly.
Yeah. So there are so much opportunities with this podcasting around it. And I think the more effort you put it, for me, it's also like the 80-20 rule, you know, that's with 20% of the effort, you can have a podcast that is an 8 out of 10, but to do it better, to do it really like, you know, sometimes a sound or then it takes a lot of effort. But what I've learned, okay, when you start something, you just want to start and then see how it goes. And I asked it to a famous podcaster whose name is escaping me at the moment, but he said, just start. It will be dirty in the beginning and just start. And so I started it, but now I see I'm getting traction. I'm getting emails from people out of the blue that want to come on my podcast, that want to discuss with me. So now I see, okay, now I need to, you know, start to go a level higher and try to make the most.
That's the way everything should be. Like we should always level up our skills. It's the same thing I tell my clients when I'm advising them about social media. So get started with one channel. Don't start in every channel because it's just too much to get under, you know, get your feet under yourself, get your balance right, figure out how you're going to make this work, what kind of posts are working here. Then when you get it right in one place and you feel comfortable, now let's expand to the second one. It's the same thing with podcasting. We want to get it started. We want to get our layers in. We want to get it going, get it, you know, get it done. There's a few things you want to do right from the beginning, naming your show. You've got a great name to your show. You're off on a great start. It's targeted to the right market. It's not all about you, right? It's about them. So like, there's just a bunch of things that you just want to make sure that you've got grounded and right. And if you don't, go ask an expert and get some advice on that. Then once you get that under your belt, now you're going to be like, what you're doing right now is you're at the, I'm going to call it the guest optimization stage. You're optimizing who you're inviting on the show to help grow the show. Right. And that's, so you're in the guest stage. Next is going to become optimizing the repurposing, because there's cost associated with that. Because if you ask my view of it, you personally should not be spending the time to transcribe your podcast. It is too much time taken for someone of your caliber, of your brain power needs to be utilized to consult with clients. It needs to be utilized to write your next book. It needs to be utilized in a much better way than doing the transcription. That's why my company has a job, right? Like, this is why we do.
Of course.
We do it for those kind of people, because it's just not right for everyone to do these things themselves. And there's not enough value in it. There's great long-term value in it. And even after you end your podcast, you can still go back and do those transcripts later and claim the power when you're ready. So it's not like it's lost to you because you didn't do it in the moment. You can go back and do it later and it will still have the same effect.
Right. Yeah. Actually, at this moment, I'm not doing it myself. I'm asking people to make show notes and to edit it and so on. So to make it, because I'm not a technical guy, but I like to know how it works because I like to know that I can explain, do this, do this. I know what's possible. Therefore, and I learned something from you just before we started the podcast. This podcast is recorded to StreamYard because we have two audio tracks, which are separate. Apparently, you can also do this with Zoom. So that's a nice tip from you.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that because in the early days of podcasting, so if you're getting advice from someone who had a course or who taught you that, Zoom couldn't do that in the early days. But in the past 2 years, I think at least, it's been that way that they have two-track recording now. So.
Yeah, it's. What do you think about the difference between audio podcasting and video podcasting? So I think you're doing both. Is it good to have a mixture of both?
Or I think it's great to have both. And the reason, even if you don't love the video, I mean, look, I can't sit there and watch a video cast. I really can't personally do it. I can listen to a podcast all day long, but I cannot watch a video. It strains my eyes. I get distracted too easily. That's my personality. But there are people out there who love video. Cannot sit still and listen to something. They want to watch it. They need the dynamic. They need the engagement. They need to see people's faces. So that's okay. It's for different types of people. So I'm a big fan of having the video, the audio, and the written word and having them all in place so that they're all there for the right type of person, because we don't want to exclude anyone from getting help from us. We don't want to exclude them from our content. We want to include them. So that's why I love it. I think it's great. It wasn't my preferred choice. I didn't start my first podcast back in 2015 with video. We did video like kind of addendums. But nowadays, also because social media is so video driven, you need a video clip for TikTok. You need a video clip for LinkedIn. Right. You need a video clip for this, right? So having the video there to use it to help promote your show, at minimum, it's worth recording the video for that.
Yeah, for that. And that's what I did for in the beginning. Actually, I just made the audio file and then I used the Zoom recording to make some clips out of that. Because actually, it's also a nice story how I started my podcast. I wanted to start the podcast already for some time. Sometimes you just need opportunity and a trigger to do that. And I was at the Web Summit 1 year ago now. And there was opportunity to, you know, reserve the podcast booth. And I just said, okay, I don't have a guest. I don't have a name for my show. I just reserved the booth. And then I was thinking, what would be a good name? And then it came into my head, CMO Stories. And then I just started to ask people, you know, other CMOs, do you want to come on my podcast? And like, I did the first recording over there, of course, without video. And now I've like, in the beginning, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, all CMOs wanted to come on my podcast. And now it's really running like, you know, people are asking me all the time to be on the podcast. For instance, next Tuesday, I have 4 podcast recordings, one after the other. So it's like...
Wonderful. Yeah. See, and that's kind of how it happens is that I think when you hit on the right name, it's actually easier to get the guests that you're looking for on your show. So that's something that we spend a lot of time strategically thinking about is it going to be attractive to my audience? And is it going to be, I'm going to call it ego boosting to my guest, because we want them to feel like, oh, that's me. Right. And so, you know, it also can be exclusionary. Like I might not have thought I was right for your show. And we had a little bit of a conversation when we were going through Podmatch just to make sure, because while I run the role of CMO in my company, because I don't have a CMO yet, but I am the CEO. Right. So you can also get into a place where it excludes some people who might be great for your show. So you do have to, you know, make sure that you've got a little bit of explanation ready when you're pitching out to someone and that you expand that knowledge when you find the right person.
Exactly. And to be honest, when I started the show, I had in my head, I will interview only CMOs. That was in the beginning. But then people started to discuss, to ask me, can I come on the show? Can I come on the show? I said, yes, it fits in the, you know, in the audience, what people like to hear, stories that people like to hear. So a guy that has written a book, a speaker, someone, you know, that has more like an agency for SEO, even I don't want, it's not my main target, I have like agency owners. But when I have an agency owner that really has a story to tell, I said, okay, that's a good fit for my podcast. And it's so that it has been evolving. And then you have the advantage now is that I have already like 30 episodes released that people have a look at what were the other episodes like. And then, you know,
Right. And so they're getting a broad brush look. Yeah. You know, I think the challenge for everything that we do, whether it's, you know, when I'm wearing my CMO hat or my CEO hat, is the real challenge for everything that we do is this going to be worth my time, money, my team, right? Is this really going to be worth it at the end? And we don't always look at the right numbers. And that's what I think has really been frustrating me and really what we have set out to take a look at from a different perspective and say, where is my time best spent? Where is my money best spent that is going to achieve that higher valued return? And it's not just like you were referring to before, the 80-20 rule, because I really know this well, because 80-20 rule is like the rule of color choices when I design products. And I used to design products for mass market retail. So I designed products for Costco, Walmart, Target, companies like that, and Martha Stewart Living. So I understood this idea that, you know, only 20% of our products were going to achieve that 80% of the sales volume. So it was ingrained in me. But what I really realized is that if you really look deep at it, only 4% of them really matter, because it's really the ones that carry everything through. So even in that 20%, there's still some that do heavier lifting than others. So how can we narrow in, find the right statistics, find the right way to go and put our effort into the things, our effort and our money, because frankly, it costs money to market things today. So where can we do that and really get the highest return on investment? That's what I'm always looking for, because it matters to me. I cannot stand the idea, and social media really frustrates me, when it's 1.3% conversion rates on social media posts. Why am I doing it? Like, what is the point to it? So I have to make it easier, simpler. Like, I'm always looking at ways to optimize that so that I can put as little effort over there as possible, because the return's not there. But there is a cost to non-participation. So we have to remember that, right? Like, we can't always quit these things because our competitors are there. Or, you know, so how do we do them without putting actual effort into them? And that's something that we're looking for too.
I think it's about creating the content in the way that you like to create content. And if it's like podcasting, I really like it. It gives me energy. And if at the same time, I can, based on this content, have someone make, you know, a TikTok video out of that, then it's good, because I need to be on TikTok. I need to be there, but it's based on another effort. It's
that's a question that I always ask. Do I need to be on TikTok?
Maybe not.
And that's the question, right? Like, I need to experiment. Like, right now, TikTok's too new for me to say the answer's no, right? Like, it would be dumb of me to say no at this stage of the game on TikTok. In fact, I said no to Twitter 3 years ago. I quit us off of Twitter. We auto-tweet. So it doesn't look like we're gone from Twitter, but we only auto tweet. I never pay attention to it. I never go into it. The direct messages are always junk, so I never have to worry about it. So I never looked at it for 3 years. Just right now, Twitter is doing something called Twitter Stories. And Twitter Stories fit the model of how we write articles, how we do things on LinkedIn. That is working for us there. So we're now back into Twitter experimenting again, because it might start working for us with this format. So this is something we always do, but we then advise our clients and say, you know what? Your clients are on LinkedIn. They're really not on TikTok. The people on TikTok are great for you, but they're probably never going to buy your services. Yeah. You know, they're fun, and it shows your company's kind of hip and you get what you're doing. But if it's not your core business, you know, maybe as a marketing agency, you do need to be experimenting in TikTok. But if that's not your core business, then why are you putting as much effort into it? It's a question that we ask ourselves on behalf of our clients. And when our clients are asking us, what do I do? We say, don't do that. Let's not do that here. Let's put our efforts where we know it's going to get a higher return on investment for you. More leads, more clients.
Yeah, sometimes you, of course, need to test. When you mentioned Twitter Stories, did you really mean Twitter Stories or Twitter Spaces? Because I don't have access anymore to the stories on my Twitter.
Stories, not everybody has access to Stories yet. It's still in testing.
Okay.
Twitter Spaces is like the live stream.
Yeah, I know, because I had Twitter Stories and now it's not there anymore. But sometimes...
And now it's not there, yeah. I think they shut it down because they're now going to roll it out. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's always good to be early. And that's some of the frustration for me, that when I'm in Belgium, when you're in the US, you have things faster. I was one of the lucky ones. I have LinkedIn Live really early in Europe. So that helped me to, because I like to, you know, to be on top of new things and to experiment with it. But it's right what you're saying about, you know, choosing the right platform. And then for me, yeah. Twitter was not, I would say, my first place to be. I was at other, you know, I was not at Facebook. Now I'm not at Facebook anymore because it doesn't work for me like it worked like before. I experimented.
Right, you're going to experiment and find that, right?
Yeah, I experimented with Clubhouse. Now I'm getting more and more towards Twitter also because I feel like the connections that you make, like we do here, like on the podcast, it goes really fluently. People connect and it's not so... Yeah, I feel like I should spend more time on Twitter now. That was not something that I felt.
It's maybe coming full circle, but I don't know. Although the last report I saw was how frustrated Elon Musk is with Twitter's reliance on advertisements. So who knows what's next over there?
Who knows? No, Tracy, if there was like, say, one or more tips that you would give to a beginning podcaster, what would they be, or pitfalls that they need to avoid? What would be your advice if you want to start a podcast?
So the number one thing that I wish I could get across to everyone is that actually your podcast isn't about you, that it's really about your audience and maybe about your guests too, because if depending on your strategy for how you're doing that, but it is not about you. I didn't name my show the Tracy Show. You don't want to name it about you. You don't want to make it all about what you want in the world. You need to be there for other people. And if you're going to provide services, you're going to build authority and brand, it's through giving.
Right.
That's what podcasting is about, right? Someone is out there choosing to listen to your show. And when I'm choosing, I'm looking through all the different things. And when I say, I think that one's going to serve me better than one that's serving themselves, you have more likelihood for being clicked on. So this is something that we do. A lot of times we get about a good third of our clients through transition. So meaning they already started a podcast and they come to us and they need to be completely revamped. Mm-hmm. So that's a third of the podcasts that have already started that need this kind of revision. And when we change the name of their show or the focus of their show, all of a sudden their traffic increases, their discoverability increases. And it's not because all of a sudden they're getting rewarded by Spotify and Apple and all of those other places. It's because they did their job of being attractive, right?
Right. And probably also something that they like to talk about and the way that they present it. Like you say, it's not about them. It's also if when you write a blog, it's not about you. It's about, you know, people reading the blog, people
it's
listening
in service.
To the podcast. Yeah. And by doing that, actually, I've always been thinking about my guests and the value that the guests and also for the guest itself. But next to that, I'm connecting all the time with amazing people. I learn every time something. And the feedback that I get from my guests is always, I like it too, because, you know, everyone has his own style to do the podcast. And it's really... Yeah, giving me a good feeling, always a good energy when I am able to.
Right. But they're not going to give that energy a chance. They're never going to take that first listen if you don't pass the blind date, right? If you don't pass the search, right? And I don't click on it to listen because, you know, it didn't excite me. It didn't attract me. So that's really what we have to get over is we kind of have to get over ourselves to making sure that we're presenting ourselves in something that will give our show a chance.
Right.
Let them listen. Because if we know we're bringing authentic value into the world, then we got to make sure that nothing is a barrier to them clicking through and getting that value. We have to get out of our own way so that they can find us.
Right. So you talked about your own podcast. I think you have one or two, the Binge Factor is one. How can people...
I love the Binge Factor.
Yeah.
The Binge Factor is my favorite because I get to listen to stories of people about like you, and you're going to be on my show next. So yeah. I'm really excited about that. So, you know, I get to hear, why did you start a podcast? What's it doing for you? That's what the Binge Factor is about. These stories about podcasters and what they're doing with their shows and why they're doing it and what they're challenged with too. So we're talking about the challenges that they face. So it came as a spinoff of Feed Your Brand. So that's something that we built into our podcast portal as well. We found that podcasters who are serious about podcasting start more than one show, or they want to spin off their show into like a best of series or a 101. So you've got some shows that are, you know, you just talking and your advice. What if they were on a special landing page where you were, you know, where you're marketing your book and you gave them these free bonus episodes so you could spin them off and put them in their own feed? So that's something that we started to do. But what it really enables you to do is take something where the Binge Factor show is so focused on successful podcasters. hears that mostly other podcasters listen to it, not someone aspiring to podcast yet. It's usually existing podcasters. So by making them all in their one show, they don't have to go through all the other 101 kind of things that they've already done by going through my Feed Your Brand, which has a lot of tactics, a lot of advice, a lot of tips. And it's a lot of me and my partner talking and my team talking. So it, you know, they're short, they're not super long episodes, but they're there for that kind of thing. So they don't have to be mixed together so that they can be useful for just someone who's already podcasting. So that's why I love the Binge Factor, because it gets me to talk to people every day, get some new ideas, new tips that I might try out. And then, you know, and then really meld that into Feed Your Brand and making sure that I'm giving good advice based on what I'm learning. So it's my real research. And right. So I'm getting so much more out of it than I thought I would.
What's the frequency of your Binge Factor show?
So all of our shows are weekly. We recommend weekly at minimum for people. We do sometimes do like a series where we'll end up doing two a week, only because I probably got really far ahead in recording and I hate to make people wait too long, and I might do a couple at a time. But for the most part, weekly, because all the algorithms, all those bots out there that we were talking about before, reward consistency. And so if I consistently post every Wednesday morning, then they're going to be there and they're going to know that I'm going to be there and they're going to share my show at a better rate on Google and other places. So
right. For me, it's Wednesday. I post every week on Wednesday. But actually now I have like, you know, a lot of recordings that are piling up. So
yeah, might want to do, 2 days a week.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's like, you know, if it's okay, is it just, you know, temporary or will it continue like that? But I feel like I get a lot of requests. Now I find myself in a position that I'm really thinking, is this person a good guest on my podcast? Yes or no, that I'm being a bit more severe. And then in the beginning, it was like, whoa, happy to have people. But I've always had great guests. But, you know,
if I can make a monetization suggestion for you and for your audience, like, let's say you do want to go ahead and you've got so many shows and you'd love to make them 2 a week, you can offer a skip the line fee.
Yeah.
So you could ask someone if they would like to, and I'm liberally stealing this from Alex Sanfilippo, who started Podmatch, who I heard speak at a conference called Outlier. And he said this, and I think it's a brilliant concept, is the idea of having a skip the line fee and then run 2 episodes in a week. It helps cover your costs, your efforts, because it is hard to produce a podcast. Right. It takes a lot of time and energy and team. And so if you're going to do that, there's costs associated with it. So, you know, you could charge a nominal amount of money. It's totally up to you and sort of your industry and what you think you can command, you know, but I've seen people who charge a couple $100s without problem, and it's no big deal. And when you do that, now they get to the front of the line. That means they get out sooner. Or if they're like maybe an author and they've got a launch coming, they can time it so that you can get it out the exact week they want it out. So these are some benefits to them for doing that. And then you're not really burdened with it having to be every time. It's only when somebody's willing to pay for that to help cover your extra effort. Your audience isn't really going to notice or care. They're going to think, oh, it's a bonus. Like they won't really. They'll just see an extra episode. They'll think that's great. As long as you're still producing on Wednesdays, they won't really care that they're getting extras. They'll be excited by it.
That's a wonderful idea, Tracy, because you know, it's a coincidence, but just today, just before a podcast, like 30 minutes ago, I received 2 emails from people that want to pay to skip the line on my podcast. And it's amount that you are telling me. I just need to know to fix the date. But I was thinking, how will I do this? But it's good. Yeah, I could do like these bonus episodes for people that want to skip the line, and then but probably it can be weekly, but I can have bonus episodes. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And the one thing is, you might get a little addicted to it, because what it does do is actually it starts to boost your numbers. So when I started my first podcast, we realized when we were researching all the podcasters out there that if we did 5 days a week, and that's crazy, let me tell you, it is so hard to do that. It is an absolute job in and of itself to produce 5 episodes a week. And we did that, and we ended up with 100,000 listeners a month in 5 months.
Whoa.
But it's because what happens is when someone finds you and you've already at 5 months got 100 episodes in your in your catalog, and then they listen to all 100 episodes because they binge on you, you build up a lot of residual value. And so that's really where it, you know, that kind of comes from. So you're going to find that just by having these few extra bonus episodes, your stats are going up. So if your future idea is to have partnerships or maybe do JV advertisements or promotions, you're going to find that you have to keep that extra level of it up. If you're not going to do that, if it's, you're only going to sell your own things, then that's perfectly fine because your number of listeners don't really change. It's really the downloads because they're listening to more episodes in that time period, right?
Yeah. Anyway, I like everything that you say. I like doing this podcast and it just feels naturally that it's coming. And that's also something I noticed, that people listen to different episodes. It's not just one episode, but they listen to different ones when they discover my podcast right away. So
skipping around, and that's a good thing. Yeah, they're finding what resonates.
Probably, yeah, like a menu, and they see, okay, I'm more into SEO. Or I also made a solo podcast about how I've written my book in 1 week when I was struggling, you know, for years, and someone that really had good value out of it. It was only a short podcast, but you know, people are just cherry picking what they like, and awesome. Right. So it was so nice to have you on my podcast, Tracy. Before we end, how would you like people to connect with you, to find you? Of course, we'll put everything in the show notes, but it's good if you mention it.
Absolutely. Well, I am on LinkedIn personally. I am nowhere else on social media personally. You'll get my team and they will send it to me. But if you want to connect with me personally, go to LinkedIn. It's Tracy Hazard with 2 Z's, which is the unusual part, right? And so, but you can you'll know it's me. So it's pretty easy to figure that out. And you can also go to podatize.com and look for just about anything having to do with our company. All of our blogs are there. All of our podcasts are there. You'll be able to find out pretty much anything about us and about our company there.
Right. I already visited your beautiful website just before the podcast, but definitely now I will have a look again. And of course, we meet again in a few days. So really looking forward to that. So thank you, Tracy. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Yuri. It's a fabulous show.
So thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast episode. If you like it, tell all your friends about it who are in the marketing space or who are an entrepreneur. I really love you for you to download more episodes and to give me feedback. That's really motivating me to continue. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you in the next podcast episode. Bye.